your hands and declare it.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Now, if you believe that, give God the mightiest praise of the day. Come on, if you believe you can't outrun the goodness of God, give him a shout. All right, one more time. Let's just give it up for the dads in the house. We love you, dads. It's going to be a good day for Jim Rayleigh. I've got chicken in the crock pot. Come on, somebody. She brought me donuts. The Lord is good because there's no calories on Father's Day. The fat grams turn into protein. Come on, somebody. Look what the Lord has done. Listen, I'm so excited about today. Of all the things I love being a pastor. I love being a leader, but I love being a father. I love being a father to my family and a spiritual father to so many. I was thinking about when Courtney was first born. Dawn had a C-section and we brought her home. We lived in our little hood house. And I remember I never felt love in my life like I felt when I took a hold of that baby. We had her in that little hood house, and Dawn was in the bedroom, and her mom was helping her, and I took the baby into the little den area that we had, and I looked at her, and when I did, I just broke down weeping and sobbing and crying. I never felt that kind of love before, and I'll tell you what, I thought, how did you grow one of these things up? We killed every plant we ever had. Come on, somebody. How in the world are we going to? But how many of you know God helps you with your children? Who's here today and would admit that the Lord has helped you? So I feel like preaching today. If you're ready, somebody shout, bring it on. All right, we're looking at Psalm 78. 72, you by live stream, we're so honored to have you. The Bible said here, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. This is the Lord towards Israel. And he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The title of my message today is simply this, in the hands of the right man. Anybody glad you're in the hands of the Lord today? Oh, that's pretty good. I said, anybody glad you're in the hands of Jesus today? All right. Slip up your hands if you want to get in this same anointing I want to preach in today. Lord, on this Father's Day, we don't want to not celebrate the Heavenly Father. Thank you for every good thing that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, that as long as we're in your hands, we're going to be okay. And I thank you, Lord, today that as believers, we are in your hands. And you have been faithful, Lord. You have moved time and again, and we give you praise. Now have your way in this service as I preach in Jesus' name. Now, if you love the Lord, come on, give him the ovation of the day. Come on, if you don't mind shouting, lift up a big shout before the Lord. Amen. Before you sit down, tell everybody in your neighborhood, say, I'm in his hands, I'm in his hands, I'm in his hands. I want to talk to you today about being in the hands of the right man. I'm thankful today to know that the Lord Jesus is on our side and he is for us. And as long as we're in his hands, everything's going to be all right. I'm going to tell you that means whether people like you or not, believe in you or not, celebrate you or not, fight for you or not, appreciate you or not, as long as you are in his hands, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Anybody in his hands today? Hallelujah. I was thinking about in the hands of the right man, and I want to just talk to you from my heart today. And since it's Father's Day, I'm going to use a sports analogy. Now, the first thing I want to talk to you about is a baseball player. Now, I played baseball when I was growing up, played in school, and when I first started playing baseball, I was a little chunky boy, and chunkier than I am now. Come on, somebody. But When I played baseball, my coach, I played for the Mets and I played for the Indians. Now, in minor league, I was in the first grade and I made the Indian baseball team, and I prayed for this coach for a few years, and he called me Speedball Rayleigh. And the reason he called me Speedball was because I would hit the ball to the fence and make it to first base. Come on, somebody. I was so slow. I put my head back and my belly out, and I just ran with everything that I had. But I was thinking about this baseball here. This baseball here is worth about $25 for a professional baseball. That's what it would cost you. You might get a little bit less, but it's worth about $25 if you try to buy one online. But in the hands of the right man, say a man named Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is a Major League Baseball player, and he plays for the New York Yankees. Any Yankee fans in the house? Oh, you better quit booing. Come on. Aaron was twice the MVP, 2022 and 2024. His career batting average is 294, and some of you ladies are already going to sleep. Come on. His total career money earned, this will make you wake up, ladies. He made $156 million, and he signed a $360 million contract. Could you imagine, for playing baseball, he earned $360 million contract. In the hands of the right man, he broke the home run record, and Aaron Judge, this $25 baseball, was auctioned off. That was the one that he'd hit the 62nd home run with for $1.5 million for a baseball. That's going to have to be some kind of baseball. Can I get a witness? But understand that this baseball is worth about $25 in my hands, but in the hands of the right man, it's worth $156 million. Come on, somebody. I don't know if you guys know it, but there's a Cy Young winner and one of the greatest pitchers in Major League Baseball right now today. His name is Jacob DeGrom. He actually graduated high school right here at Calvary Christian Academy. Come on, somebody. And I used to play basketball with him. And that's back in the days when I played. Come on. But he always wanted to guard me. All those young guys wanted to guard me. And back then, I was a baller and a shot caller. I was better than I thought I was. Come on, y'all. But I used to talk so much junk. There was one guy, they used to have the college kids that would come play. And I remember we had one college boy, and they would call me Rev. Say, hey, Rev, I'm here to play. What's up? I said, what's your name, buddy? He said, my name's Andrew, Rev. I said, well, I'm going to call you Cornbread. He said, why are you going to call me Cornbread? So I said, because I'm about to eat you up all night. Come on, somebody. But anyway, in the hands of the right man. And then you think about football. There's a football player by the name of Patrick Mahomes. Any Kansas City Chiefs fans? If you're a Kansas City Chief, make a little noise if you're a fan. If you're a Bucks fan, make a little noise. Me too, come on. But this football is worth about $160. But in the hands of the right man, say Patrick Mahomes, who's won 3 Super Bowls. He's passed for 245 touchdown passes. He has 32,000 yards. And his total career earnings is $182 million for throwing a pigskin. Come on. I wish you could make that much eating it. Can I get a witness here? Let me see if you can catch a football. Look at there. Throw it back, see if I can catch it. It's been a long time. Right in the lights. But let me see. Let me run out for a pass and see if I can still throw a pass. Come on, run down it right down the middle. Look at that. Y'all don't know. Y'all don't know. This football is worth about $160. But in the hands of the right man, this football, Patrick Mahomes, this football is worth $45 million a year with $28 million in endorsements. Can you imagine? It matters what hands this football's in. In my hands, it ain't worth much. But in the hands of the right man, it's worth a whole lot. What about basketball? Anybody watching the finals? Now, I was a ball player, y'all. Y'all don't even know. Come on. I would have gone pro. The only thing is, I couldn't run, I couldn't shoot, and I couldn't jump. But if I could have ran, shoot, and jumped, and I was taller, I'd have gone pro. Come on, somebody. Now, this ball right here costs about $200 if you get an NBA ball. But in the hands of the right man, say the greatest shooter in NBA history, a man named Steph Curry. Come on now. A $225 or $220 basketball is worth $55 million in salary and $100 million in endorsements. Can you imagine? Now, I wonder if I still got it. It's been a long time. Pray, saints. Oh, come on. Y'all better make some noise. Y'all don't know I'm going somewhere. Y'all better make some noise. I'm going to let that be the one shot I take because you don't know. I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost roll on that. Did y'all see that? Now, this ball right here is worth about $200 in my hands. But if it gets in the hands of the right man, it's worth a whole lot more than that. Now, let me see. Is there a dad in the house that's got a son in elementary? Let me see. And you'd like to take this basketball, go home, would you? You would? Come on up here. Everybody give him a hand. Because I'm going to give this to you and your son if you make this shot. Right there. Right there. Hey! Come on. Y'all better give him a hand. No, y'all better give my boy a hand. That was awesome. That was a pressure shot. But you know you didn't call glass on that.
I did.
In the hands of the right man, the superstar, it's worth $55 million salary with $100 million in endorsements a year. Can you imagine? $155 million that basketball is worth in the hands of Steph Curry. But then there's a golf ball up here and a golf club. I don't know. Maybe I should stop with basketball. Come on. Jesus. I'm in front of all these people, Lord. See, when you do it like this, you look like you at least you know what you're doing. Come on. Ooh. That was a gimme. Come on, somebody. Now, a golf ball is worth about $4 or so a piece But obviously in my hands, it's worth about 10 cents. Come on, somebody. But if you put it in the hands of Roy McClory, what's his name? McElroy. You can tell I watch golf. Come on. In the hands of Rory, this golf ball is worth a $38 million salary and a $45 million a year in endorsements. In my hands, it's worth nothing. When I play golf, I can tell you I'm going to hit it a long way. I just don't know where it's going to go. Come on. So all these things are not worth a lot until they get in the hands of the right man. Once this football gets in the hands of the right man, or that basketball gets in the hands of the right man, or this golf club gets in the hands of the right man, it calculates into being something extremely valuable. But let me tell you today about two rusty spikes. These would cost you about 99 cents if you went down to the hardware store. Try as you might, you won't get more than that for them. And in my hands, they're not worth anything. But in the hands of the right man. Y'all don't want to help me. In the hands of a man named Jesus Christ. I wish I could find somebody to preach to. I know you want a deeper revelation, but today I came to talk real. In the hands of a man named Jesus Christ. Those hands are the hands that can purchase your redemption, your salvation. In the hands of the right man, they'll purchase forgiveness and cleansing and a new season. In the hands of the right man, it'll save your whole family. Come on, somebody. These old spikes are worthless by themselves, but in the hands of the right man, Jesus Christ, they brought forgiveness for every sin, restoration for every broken marriage, hope for every broken heart, and peace for every trial. Somebody who's thankful for the hands of Jesus, open up your mouth and give him a praise right now. Or you can do a little better than that. I said, give him a mighty praise right now. And I want to tell you, this same Jesus is being preached around the world. This same Jesus is saving people, redeeming people, and setting people free. And there's power in the name of Jesus. I said there's breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I said there's healing in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus. There's restoration in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. Because he was so faithful right unto death. Now, I just came back from Singapore. To be honest with you, I've got jet lag. It's actually 11:25 at night where I've been. And I'm feeling jet lag today, but in the name of Jesus, I'm wide awake. Come on, somebody. But when I tell you God is moving, there were thousands of people at this meeting. And these folks took off of work. And Singapore is one of the most amazing cities in the world. So I was preaching in the morning. I was there all day long and preaching in the evening. And it's hard to describe to you the level of church that we had. One night, there were thousands of people there. We had such a meeting this last week. And God moved. He healed. Anybody still believe that God heals? He delivered. Come on, anybody believe that those hands purchase healing and deliverance? Come on, somebody. And he set people free. And that night, I was going through and I was praying for people. And when I tell you that we were praying for so many people, there was such a hunger there. And this church is just a massive building. And as I was praying, I came up to a man, a big Asian man, and I put my hands on him. to pray for him. My hands. To pray for him. And when I put my hands on him, he began to manifest the devil. He put his hands around my throat. Come on, somebody. That wasn't no cute devil. That was a real devil. And my daughter's there, and she's standing behind as I was moving through praying for people, and he put his hands around my throat, and he went to choking me. Now, it's going to be a bad day if you try that at Calvary. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all would look out for me if that happened? You'd get that. Come on, I got to know I got a few people that'll help me. How many of y'all look out for me if that happened? I don't even worry about it, because not only that devil would catch a beat down, come on, somebody, but he had his hands around my throat, and the response was not quite as quick there as it would have been here. So I start trying to move his hands from my throat, and finally they started helping me. And they got his hands from around my throat, and I got my hands on his head. Now, what I wanted to do, y'all don't know. Pray for me. I wanted, everybody's different. I had my hands on his head. And you know, I've heard people pray, "You come out, you foul demon," and they holler. But you see, if you got power, you can whisper. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I said, you can whisper and the devil will have to come out. I kept my hands on his head and I got in his ear, tell the truth, Channel. And I started whispering. And I said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. I said, blessed is he who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law he doth meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And he shall bring forth fruit in his season. And whatsoever he does, it shall prosper. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, thus it shall come to pass, the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, fast, unmovable, always abounding, for as much as you know that your labor is not. I'm quoting the scripture. You know why? Because the Bible said, I'll lift my word above my name. I had that man by his head, and all of the sudden, while I'm whispering the word into his spirit, he fell like a dead man. Like some, did he not? He didn't even resist. He just, bam, he hit the ground. I'm trying to tell you, it wasn't my word and it wasn't my hands, but it was the hands of the Lord and the word of the Lord that brought power into that moment. Somebody give God praise for his word. These rusty spikes are not worth much, but in the hands of the right man. The Bible said in Zechariah 13:6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those where I was wounded in the house of my friends. It's all about being in the hands of the right man. This Bible here cost about $10. You can buy it online for about $10. but in the hands of the right man. There's enough gospel in one verse, John 3:16, to save and deliver every lost person on the planet. Come on, somebody. In the hands of the right man, this word will change somebody's life. In the hands of the right father, in the hands of the right dad, this word will change a whole family. I remember when we were in China years ago, Channing was about 9 years old. We smuggled Bibles, and she was the youngest Bible smuggler in the history of smuggling Bibles. And we left Hong Kong and went into China, and they put all kind of Bibles in her backpack. And we took those into China. And right now there are 4 million pastors without Bibles. And we took those Bibles into those Chinese homes and to those Chinese pastors. And let me tell you, they're under pressure right now. And they're trying to stop the gospel in China. I talked to them in Singapore this week, and Singapore is made up largely of Chinese people. But they said, in spite of what the enemy is doing, the word of the Lord is being preached, and there is a mighty revival in China right now. I'm trying to tell you that nothing can stop the word of God when it gets in the hands of the right man. Teenager, carry it to school with you. Put it in your hands. It'll change people's lives. Come on, anybody thankful for the word right now? Give God a praise if that's you. We're all knowing what's going on right now in Iran, but I read an article just recently, in the last day or so, since all this has been going on, and they say that the mightiest revival happening in the earth right now is happening in Iran, that people are turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read an article this morning in the Washington Post, I believe it was. And the people in Iran, many of them, have been praying that they would be liberated. Let me tell you something. When God makes up his mind that he's going to do a thing and people get the word of the Lord in their hands and in their hearts, nothing can stop God's agenda. Let me tell you, Dad, keep this word in your hands and in your hearts. Believe and walk by faith. The question is today, watch this, whose hands are you in? You say, well, I'm in my woman's hands. Come on, somebody. Some woman would say, I'm in my man's hands, but the real reality is you can't always trust a man and a woman. When you're sick, whose hands are you in? When you're wounded, when you're in need, not just any hands will do. You may feel worthless or hopeless or purposeless, but in the hands of the right man, you can find hope and deliverance. The Bible said that he guided them with the skillfulness of his hand. The psalmist was speaking here of the children of Israel. And beloved, the same hands that guided them are still guiding today. The only difference is those hands have nail prints in them. And I want to tell you something. Aaron Judge has played to the sounds of screaming thousands over the years. Patrick Mahomes has millions of screaming and adoring fans. Stephen Curry has been cheered by the masses as the world champion all-star basketball player. Rory has 5 majors as a winner in it, and he's watched by thousands. But let me tell you about my Savior. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. When people don't even know who Michael Jordan is anymore, when they forget who Michael Jordan is, when they forget who Tom Brady is, when they forget all these sports stars, there is a name that will never be forgotten, and that is the name that is above every name, Jesus. No one cheered for him on the day that he died, but maybe they cheer for him now. And I want to tell you something. All of these sports stars, there will come a day when the cheering will stop for them. But I'm going to tell you, it'll never stop for Jesus. I think about my own life, and I'm going to wind this down. In my own life, I think about the journey that I was on growing up. I adore my dad. He was love on wheels. When he was here, we called him Pastor Pawpaw. Come on. When I tell you he was precious, oh, he was precious. But my home life was very unstable. I don't want to dishonor, but I want to be transparent to give hope today. My mother had a lot of struggles. She was addicted to prescription drugs before we even understood what that was. My mother was bipolar, and it caused a lot of abusive behavior to my sister and me. Our home, my dad was so trying to keep our life together. We didn't have very much in the way of resources. I grew up living in a parsonage. That means my dad never owned the house that we lived in. We were always struggling. My mom didn't really care about finances. And my mom had this drive to constantly spend money. So she would take checkbooks out of the back of the checkbook and go buy things at stores for herself. And Dad wouldn't know it, and so checks would start bouncing. And I remember as a little boy not having enough hardly to even survive. And I remember I went to this Christian school, and my dad, because I'd been at Jackson in downtown Jacksonville, and I struggled there, they put me in this little Christian school. And they... My dad had written a check that bounced, and he came back and wrote another one. And then the teacher, the guy that was over the finances, came in the room where I was in front of all the friends that I had. And he said, "Hey, you know that check that your dad wrote?" And he had a tennis ball, and he started bouncing it. And in front of all my friends, he just kind of exposed the situation that happened. My mother, because of her instability, and I find compassion nowadays, my mother, it was tough. They had a lot of good in them, and I don't want to say that they didn't, but my mother had a lot of struggles. And because of that, I had a lot of struggles, and my sister had a lot of struggles. There were a lot of things that happened. One thing I always knew, I knew that my dad loved me. I knew that no matter how crazy it got, that he didn't just love me. My dad had the ability to love everybody. My brother's here today. Roger Holmes. And he's not my blood brother, but he's my brother. Because my dad, in the 70s, he pastored this little church in Winter Garden, Florida. Can I just talk to you? That'd be all right. And Roger and his brothers and some of his friends came through, and they were all doing drugs, and they were all a mess, and back then they called them hippies. And there was a guy at our church who worked at a gas station named Hollis Powell. And he invited all those guys to come to our little church in Winter Garden. And they said, we can't come to your church because we don't have any clean clothes. And Hollis Powell gave you guys the money and got all y'all's clothes washed, didn't he, Raj? And they all, you should have seen them. When they walked in that Assembly of God, conservative, come on somebody, old time. They walked in there and people's hiney got so tight you wouldn't even believe it. And they started calling my dad in the middle of the night. And they said, if you don't get those hippies out of here, they're going to tear this church up. And my dad called a board meeting. And all the things we were struggling with, we didn't have anything. We really didn't. You remember that house we lived in, Roger? 130 Pennsylvania Avenue. Listen, our roaches were something there, buddy. You know how when you turn on the lights, roaches freeze. Come on, somebody. Our roaches, I think they were bilingual. Come on. You know you got a bad roach when you spray that roach and you think you've killed him, and he turns over, and then he crawls up your leg a little bit later and said, you got any more of that raid? Come on, somebody. That's a bad roach. So my dad called a board meeting, and they had been calling him in the middle of the night, this lady, if you don't get them hippies out of here. And my dad called that board meeting, and we had nothing. We had no recourse. We didn't know where we would go. And my dad said, if those guys are not welcome in this church, I'm not going to be pastor. I'm not welcome here if they're not welcome here. And that board backed right down. And I remember, Roger, when they were living out at the Powell's house, and the Powell's had told them, if you get high, you're going to have to leave. You can't stay here. And they were all there, and they had gotten high, and the Powell's had kicked them out. And Roger was 15, right, Rog? You about 15? Yeah. And I remember that my dad went up there late in the night, early in the morning. And he picked Roger up in his hands. Roger was stoned out of his mind. And he carried him to the car. And he said, I'm keeping this one. This one has a call of God on his life. And he put him in his car, and he brought him to our little parsonage house. And he took you in like his own. You didn't even know it, Roger. But that night, you got in the hands of the right man. And now, Roger's here, and Betty's here. Roger's Donnie McClurkin's manager. Come on, we've had Pastor Donnie many times. And he's over, he has been so greatly used by God. And now his daughter, Tegan, come on, Dawn's assistant, the little short thing who was great big pregnant, just had a baby, come on. And it's all linked back, Roger. You being here today was because you got in the hands of a man who was struggling. We had a messed up family. But he picked you up. He said, I'm going to keep this one. He's got a call on his life. I want to tell you, I struggled. I could tell you things that happened. But all that time, God kept his hand on my life. And in spite of everything I saw, my dad's love for me kept me grounded and rooted. I close with this. I remember that, I'm being real transparent with you. Is that okay? I remember when, just before my dad died, we were talking. And I know that him and my mom, because of her struggles, didn't have the greatest relationships in every way, even in the physical parts. And my dad is talking to me, and by then, he's gone through chemotherapy. Some of y'all remember. And he's not strong physically, but he's still the best man I've ever known. And he starts telling me about all the times that these women in these different churches, he said, I didn't have to stay with your mom. He said, and he started telling me, at this church, so-and-so, when we were in the Bahamas, there were two ladies. And he said, even in Jacksonville, your mother's best friend was struggling in her marriage. And she came to me and said, you know, we could have a thing. And I looked at him, and y'all bear with me now. I was just a human being, and I knew what he was facing. And I said, Dad, why didn't you? Why didn't you, Dad? Why didn't you? And Dad looked at me and he said, because I promised, son. It didn't matter what your mom did. It mattered what I did. And I promised that I would be faithful. Let me tell you something. My dad was 10 feet tall in that moment to me. What I'm trying to tell you, Dad, is this. You don't have to have all the money. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to be the greatest at anything, sports or anything like that. All you have to do is make sure that your life is surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep your family in the hands of the Lord. Because if they're in the hands of the Lord, they're in the hands of the right man. I want to tell you today that it doesn't matter what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter how hard things have been. Jesus is in this room and he will touch you. With everybody standing, every head bowed for a moment and every eye closed. If you're here today and you would say, Apostle, there's some things in my life that ought not be there. There's sin in my life. And I'm not in the hands of the Lord. And if you're going to pray for somebody, I want you to pray for me. If you're not where you need to be with Jesus, and you'd say, but I want to leave here knowing that I'm in his hands. When I count to three, I want you to raise your hand. Are you ready? Pray for me, Apostle. One, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. Two, I want to make sure that I leave here in his hands. Three, slip your hand up right now. Yes, amen, amen. I see you, I see it across the room. Hold your hand right up. Yes, I see it. Glory to God. Come on, if you raise it up, keep it up. Hallelujah. Say, I need a new beginning, Apostle. I'm gonna lend you 5 more seconds. If you need to raise your hand, raise it now. 5, come on, I see it, sir. 4, 3, 2, 1. If you raise your hand and you really mean it, and on this Father's Day, you want to change, I want everybody that will who raised your hand, I want you to come to the front and let me pray with you right now. I promise you won't come by yourself, but begin to make a move right now. If you're ready for God to change your whole life, come on, look at this. Come on, girls. Look at Jesus. Young ladies coming weeping right now. Y'all better give God a praise. The altars are open. No, you ought to give God a shout right now. Come on, we can do a little better than that. Look at the altars. Hallelujah. Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.